scriptures tonight. John 4, verses 23 and 24. So starting John 4, 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Over to Acts 16, starting at verse 25. Familiar story. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushing in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Tonight we'll be talking about experience the Holy Spirit through worship. And the text there in John chapter 4 and Acts chapter 16, we'll come back and mention them in a while here, in a little bit. But as Christians, we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to overflow and to have an abundant supply of His presence in our life, as we desire to share richly with others. We are filled with the Holy Spirit when we let the Word of God dwell in our hearts. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the message about Christ in all righteousness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." The dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us confirms that we belong to God. And Romans chapter 8 says, "Because we belong to Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us." And he goes on to say the opposite is also true. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. His presence is a guarantee that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit intercedes to the Father on our behalf. He is an advocate who pleads for us according to the will of the Father, because he knows the will of our God, the Father. The Holy Spirit gives discernment regarding evil and deception. The Spirit of truth uses the Word of God to enable believers to stand firm by discriminating between good and evil, truth and lies. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, "When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. With that, the Holy Spirit seals our salvation. He sanctifies us and set us apart to live holy lives. He leads us to put to death sinful deeds. He empowers us, granting strength to live in a manner that's not possible by our own abilities. You know, those situations where you go, "Wow, that would be only possible because the Holy Spirit of God is working in our lives." He helps us to become more like Jesus Christ so we can live like Jesus and love like Jesus to impact lives for God's glory. And that's always our main purpose as we worship God, our Father, is to bring glory to His name. He also gives us the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we need sometimes more than one than the other, right? Especially self-control. So, in case you're not familiar with what worship is, here is a simple definition I have for you. It is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, a God. And as Christians, when we worship our only one and true God, we acknowledge how great, how powerful, how sovereign, how holy, and how perfect He is. And we revere His presence because He is the only one to be adored and glorified. The practice of going through the motions of worship is not enough to please God. We can get into a dangerous place where we come to church as a routine, because we are taught as kids, right? It's church, it's Sunday, it's church day, so we go to church. If we are not careful, we can lose our focus to why we gather, and our worship become meaningless and not pleasant to God. And our first mistake is to think that it will not happen to us because, you know, we are solid in our faith. So we need to be careful and remain vigilant, right? Charles Spurgeon said, "It's not your worshiping God by words in hymns and prayers or sitting in a certain place, a church, that is acceptable to Him. True worship lies in your heart, paying reverence to Him, your soul obeying Him, and your inner nature coming into conformity to His own nature by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life." So, in that verses in John chapter 4, Jesus was talking with this Samaritan woman at the well. And He was talking about what kind of worshipers God desires. God is looking for true worshipers who, as a result of believing in His word and living in obedience to act according to His word, will worship Him in spirit and truth. God invites us for a life of worship that will not cease when our bodies decay or even after our death. It will continue for eternity. And that's a blessing for us, right? And that's what we're all looking for, because we cannot fight this body decaying, can we? No. But we can rejoice that one day we'll be in His presence to experience eternal life. So the Holy Spirit leads us into the presence of God and makes the worship of God more intimate and meaningful. He shows us the way into God's presence and enables us to fellowship with God the Father. He inspires our spirit and brings us into communion with our God. When we worship God, the Holy Spirit inspires us. And as the Holy Spirit inspires us, what do? We worship God. It's like a win-win situation. And I love that. So you may ask, how can I truly worship God? You are truly worshiping God when you pray. Really? Yeah. When you pray. Because you recognize that God is sovereign and an almighty God. You recognize that you are a limited being who needs His divine intervention. And you worship God when you have a thankful heart, because you recognize what He has done in your life and for what He will continue to do for you. You are truly worshiping God, when you share the good news of Jesus Christ, because you believe that others need to hear about His provision for salvation, His redemption, and hope given to them through Jesus Christ. You are truly worshiping God as you give your tithes and offerings. But you may say, that's a physical act of worship because you are, you know, doing a physical act of worship there. Yeah, in part, it is. You know what? But God is not looking for the dollar number or how many zeros you put on that check or the bill that you give. God is looking into your heart's attitude as a spiritual act of worship to Him. So the Bible tells us when we worship Him through giving, you know, let our not our left hand see what our right hand is doing. So, and that's between us and God. It's nobody else's business here, right? So, watch your heart and faithfully worship Him through the opportunity that you have to give as well. That's a blessing. And we worship God through songs, through music. And personally, I love worshiping God by listening and singing songs of praise, especially when we are singing together. I love that, but I also enjoy worshiping Him in a personal and quiet devotional. So there are various ways we can worship God, and there's nothing wrong for us to have our favorite way. The important thing is to do it, to act on it and worship the way that God puts in your heart, the way that the Holy Spirit leads you. So, what's your most desired way to worship God? By the way, gentlemen, a nap doesn't count. Okay? Just saying. So, do you think you're really, truly worshiping your God as you should? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if we are a believer in Jesus Christ and we do not feel that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's because only one thing, sin. Sin makes us to resist the Spirit and give Him no access to do His work in our lives. So, how do we fix that? We pray. Ask for forgiveness. We invite Him and give Him total control over our lives. And we continue by reading and studying the Word of God. You know, we cannot be away from the Word of God. Every single day, we need to be connected to His Word. When we walk in a right relationship with our Lord, focusing on Him and seeking His presence, the Holy Spirit will be totally free to do His work. The text in Acts tells us about the impact the missionaries were making while serving God in the city of Philippi. Everything was good. They were feeling great. They were sensitive to the Spirit's lead, even though they were being faithful to God. What did they get in reward? They were put in jail. That doesn't seem fair, does it? Why would their God allow that to happen? Their feeling, perhaps, was that the bottom just dropped out. It seems that everything they were doing was in vain. They were beaten, hurt, had their feet in stocks, but despite all the suffering and pain, they were doing what? They were worshiping God, singing hymns, and praying. If they would have given up, dropped the ball, and stopped their missions, no one would blame them. But they would not have experienced what the Spirit had done on that night. So they trusted God and sang amid all their trouble. Filled by the Holy Spirit, they were worshiping their God. What a contrast But at the same time, what a beautiful scene took place in the dark, cold prison. Then the Bible text tells us that God visited Philippi. A violent earthquake took place, and all prison doors flew open, and all the prisoners' chains came loose. We can understand the behavior of that jailer, who was in desperation because if the prisoners had escaped, he would be responsible and probably lose his life over it. Why did they not flee? There was another miracle, but probably they were in awe with what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was on the move, and the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ came to a dark prison, bringing redemption and hope. The miracle that happened that night, that the text tells us, was not to deliver Paul and Silas from jail, but for the salvation of the jailer and his family. And most likely, I firmly believe, other prisoners were saved as well. Because they are all in awe of the Spirit of God working in that place. We have no trouble also to understand why the jailer showed gratitude to them. They had saved his life by not leading a massive escape. For all that he had seen and experienced, he now had a question. What must I do to be saved? Was it the earthquake? A clear demonstration of the power of God those men served? Had he been told of what they were doing before they were put in jail? Because they were sharing the word, they were performing miracles, because the Holy Spirit was working on them. Did they listen to the hymns and heard the gospel proclaimed in songs and prayers? In any case, the jailer demonstrated three attitudes needed for salvation. First, the recognition of his need as a sinner. Secondly, awareness of a Savior in Jesus Christ. And third, the need to respond to the gospel. As hardship comes, is it easy for you just to complain? You know, why me? How would you, God, allow this happen to me, a faithful servant? How do you, God, allow these things to happen with your church, with your people? Have you ever experienced a time when your best option was to give up and just wait for the worst to happen? Paul and Silas that night had that option as they were facing the same situation that the Lord Jesus Christ faced. Okay, when he was arrested and crucified. Crucifixion would be a potential end for both of them, even though they joyfully decided to worship God. Now, have you ever experienced some hardship or your only option would be to trust God and give it all to him? My question for you, do you remember how it ended up for you? And perhaps how blessed you were? You know, we need to keep looking back in our history. Looking back and we'll see those spiritual markers. Those places that we thought that we are alone, but in fact God was carrying us. He was holding our hands. And then we look back and we say, we couldn't have done this without God's help. And that's what we see in the text here. Luke gives us one of the most beautiful scenes in Scripture. Beaten, bleeding missionaries, their feet in chain, literally turned the prison into a church. Not only did they sing and pray, but the rest of the prisoners listened to them, and salvation took its place. We can truly worship God in the midst of our struggles when we remain faithful and obedient to Him. And we know He leads and blesses in us in each step of our lives, no matter how difficult and dark some days may look, some days may be. In fact, it may be hard, but we can still choose to rejoice and worship in the hardest circumstances we are facing. Like they're experiencing prison, in that prison, when the Spirit acts, something supernatural happens. And when you realize that, when you feel it, you know that's the Holy Spirit of God working through you and with you. So I urge you to obediently, faithfully, willingly, and truthfully worship God and be prepared for how the Holy Spirit will guide you to fully experience His presence. And then you go, wow, that was amazing. And I'm sure that you'll be able to experience that. So, have you had that feeling that God was sending you somewhere to minister? You know, and you faithfully obeyed? Or maybe, like myself, sometimes didn't obey? Right, but Paul in 1 Corinthians here. Sorry. So when you feel that, you can be assured, when you feel that God is sending you somewhere to speak with someone, you can be assured that He already has someone ready to listen to the message you have. That's exactly what happened in that prison. That jailer had his heart ready to listen to the gospel message. A couple years back, as most of you know, I run a side business doing IT work as well. And I got to do some work for a man named Daryl. And Daryl got cancer. And his wife, and we were praying for him. We have lots of people praying for Daryl. But his heart is totally closed to God. So one day, his wife came to me and said, "Paulo, Daryl doesn't want to speak with a pastor. He doesn't want to speak with anyone. But because he respects you as a businessman, he's willing to sit down and speak with you." And I said, "Schedule it. Let's do that." So when I came, I sat down, I shared the gospel message with Daryl, and he said, "Paulo, I'm ready to invite Christ to my life." So was that me? Absolutely not. People were praying for him, and the Holy Spirit was preparing his heart to receive the message, to receive the gospel. And we prayed, and he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. The beginning of the year, he went to be with his Lord and Savior now for eternity. What a great experience that was for me, and I praise God for that and all those moments. You know, we do this to glorify God, to exalt His name and praise Him, right? It's an act of worship. So I was so thankful for that opportunity. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you may be discouraged to a point that you feel you're not able to worship God. Do you feel cold toward Christ or other Christians? Your worshiping is meaningless. And when you pray, it's like your prayer doesn't leave the room where you are. Perhaps have you felt like that before? You know what I'm talking about. I had felt that. So do you find more joy? Do you find no more joy in serving God? Have you turned your focus from seeking God's kingdom to pursue other goals for your life? So, does any of these questions here bother you? Because you feel that you are not in the right place you should be. Does any of these questions make you uncomfortable? Bring you some unrest because you are not truly experiencing what God intends for you? So, if that resonates with you, you know what I say to that? Great! That's good. Actually, it's perfect. You know why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you. He's challenging you. He's waking you up to bring you back to your first love to Jesus Christ. So if you're feeling His presence, His voice, the question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? You know what you're not doing, but you also know what you need to do. And that's not to me to point fingers. That's the Holy Spirit that's bringing that to your life tonight. So, do you want to truly experience His presence in your life? Ask God to forgive you for stopping the work of His Holy Spirit in your life. Tell Him that you belong to Him and you want to completely surrender and obey Him with all that you have. Maybe, like that jailer, do you want to understand how Christians can rejoice even when they are going through some painful situations? You're asking, what do I do to be saved? I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. You know, and you may be listening to this message online from somewhere around the world, right, Dee? So, God is calling you. God wants to give you His personal relationship so you can experience eternal life with Him forever. And here is what you need to do, as that jailer did. Recognize that you are a sinner. Recognize that you have a need for Jesus Christ. And third, invite Him to come to your life. And you will do that by praying. And you know, don't worry, it will not cost you anything, right? But in fact, you give the chance for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And you truly experience a relationship that you cannot have with any other person. So I urge you, please, don't miss this opportunity. If you're listening to this message from anywhere, surrender your life to God. Don't postpone it. You will not regret. God does not want you to leave where you are, to leave this place the same way you entered it. So just call upon His name and surrender your life to Him. Let's pray one more time. Father God, we praise Your name and thank You for what You have done for us in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the life that You have given us. And Father, and we thank You because You gave us Your Holy Spirit, Lord. And He was the one who guides us. He's the one, Lord, who speaks to our lives, Lord, and bring us closer to You, Father God. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit will be speaking to each one's heart here tonight, Lord. Bringing them, Lord, to truly experience, Lord, what You want to do in their lives. So thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You for giving Jesus Christ to die for us on that cross so we can be loved by You, Lord, we can experience a personal relationship that only You can give. Father, we pray that and surrender it all to You in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.